The sermon text for this morning is 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 16. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God and opposed all mankind, by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. This is the word of the Lord.
We return to 1 Thessalonians. Let's pray as we begin. So now, our Father, we are in great need of your help. Please send your Spirit to open your word. Help us to see Jesus Christ and hear his words to us. We pray that they may be living words and that you may be at work in us through them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title is, did you say preaching? So outside these doors, preaching is definitely not regarded as cool. In fact, the word preach is often used as a pejorative. Don't preach at me, meaning don't act so superior, like you're morally superior and so perfect. Your talk sounded like preaching. Meaning, you sounded like you think you have all the answers and you're talking down to your audience. So how should we as Christians think about preaching? Is preaching an intrusion of arrogated authority into our lives by some patriarchal fossil? Is preaching a relic of old-time religion, better discarded and replaced by TED Talks or discussions or simply sharing ideas with each other? Well, we answer no. At Redeemer, we do not only relinquish preaching, but we believe it is God's chosen means to meet our deepest needs. And our text today gives God's perspective on this very question, how we should think about and respond to preaching, and we're zeroing in on verse 13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. But we'll start with kind of fitting how this text fits into the flow of thought from the beginning of 1 Thessalonians to here. So Paul opens the letter with a spotlight on the Thessalonians, chapter 1. In verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, etc. He is thankful for how the Thessalonians have grown in Christian character, the work of faith, labor of love. They're thankful how they received the word of God in much affliction, yet they responded with joy. Paul is thankful that their faith is now spoken of by people throughout their region. Then, chapter 2, Paul switches to talk about himself and his companions, Silvanus and Timothy, and their ministry, how they had conducted themselves, and he vindicates their ministry against criticisms and accusations. And now, verses 13 through 16, he focuses back on the Thessalonians. Again, he's thankful for them. Remember, back in chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you. And now, verse 13, and we also thank God constantly for this, how you received the word of God. And here he's thankful for this more specific thing, how they responded to the Word of God. And then he goes on to compare, like he had in the beginning of chapter 1, he said, you were imitators of Paul and his companions. You were imitators of Jesus Christ. And here he says in the ensuing verses, verses 14 and following, that they were imitators of the churches back in Judea. And just like the Thessalonians suffered attacks from their own countrymen, you can read more about it in Acts 17, so the Judean churches had suffered attacks from their countrymen. But this morning, our focus is on verse 13, where we hope to learn something about what God says about preaching. So I ask three questions. What is this word of God that they received? Look at the text. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. We thank God constantly for this, something specific. Now, he's not saying, though he is, but he's not focusing on that he's thankful for their conversion or thankful that they received the grace of God or thankful that they believed on Christ. But we're thankful for this one specific aspect. What is this? Well, this is that, the text. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, you received it not as the word of man, but as the word of God. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it as the word of God, not the word of men. Well, what did they receive? What is he talking about? What is this word of God that he rejoices that they received? Well, on casual reading, you might assume this is the scripture itself, right? The word of God. But it specifies that you received the word of God, which you heard from us. So this was preaching, right? This was preaching because it was heard, and it was heard from us because we proclaimed it to you. And the Thessalonians accepted that preaching, not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And he's not talking about like we read the Bible out loud to you, because there'd be no confusion about, oh, was that the word of man or word of God? That was the word of God. But it was preaching, because word of man, word of God. And so this was what they received, was the preaching by the apostles. So Paul is saying here, like, my preaching was not just my lecture, but it is the word of God to his hearers. But as what it really is, not the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. Stunning, isn't it? And this was not a prophetic utterance, like when Isaiah says, thus says the Lord, and then he cites verbatim what God told him to say. No, this is garden variety preaching. And this preaching really is the word of God to the hearers. And Paul thanked God constantly that the Thessalonians received it and accepted it as the word of God. Look at the text, though. It says that this word of God is from us, which you heard from us. So it's a word from us, but it's also the word of God. You receive the word of God, he says it again, but what it really is, the word of God. So this word, this preached word, is from us, but it is of God, both divine and human. And so it's not one or the other, but it's this confluence of divine and human activity. Man is speaking, but God delivers his message. Now, this is not inspiration. Inspiration means when human beings receive a message from God and the written product is without error. That's not what preaching is, without error. But it is, really is, the Word of God. And that's how God works in our age. Beginning of the Gospel of John, John says there was a man sent from God whose name is John, John the Baptist. And God accomplishes his mission using men. Jesus, in the Great Commission, sends his 11 apostles and says, go make disciples. Jesus sends them to do his work of spreading the message of Jesus Christ. John 20:21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Maybe another way to look at this, saying the same thing, is in Romans 10:13-15. Romans 10:13-15, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Somebody is saying, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wonderful promise. But you can't call on him in whom you've not believed, and you can't believe if you haven't heard, and you can't hear without preaching. Preaching is the method of presenting something for their hearing, and how can they preach if not sent? Here's the role and significance of preaching then. To be saved, a person must believe what they hear preached. That's what Paul says in Romans. Now, can people be saved just by reading the Bible without preaching? Of course they can. They listen to the text, but listen to what is being said here. The normal method, God's normal method, is that they hear preaching and come to believe in Christ through the preaching of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5, God making his appeal through us. And so the Word of God here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 is nothing other than preaching the Word of God heard. So the second question, first question was, what was this Word of God they heard? It was the word preached. Secondly, how did they receive the Word of God? Back to the text. When you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. So there's these two similar actions here. First of all, they received the word, which means simply when it was preached to them, they didn't reject it, they didn't ignore it, they received it. But then they also accepted it. And what does that mean? Well, it means an internal response. They took this preaching is more than a series of true statements, a bunch of facts, but they received it as of God. God's message to me, they appropriated it personally as an authoritative word from God. Here I'm hearing preaching. What is God saying to me through this channel? And so through preaching, they realize that God is speaking. It was more than men offering their perspectives. God himself was communicating. Well, somebody's going to have a question, and you ought to have the question. This is legitimate and appropriate. So are you saying I'm supposed to sit here and accept as unquestionable truth everything that some religious leader stands up and says? Sounds cultish. Do I turn off my mind? Am I not allowed to think for myself? No, absolutely not. That's not at all what we are saying. So let me explain this a little bit further. And if you have your Bibles, look with me at Acts 17. Acts 17, verses 10 through 12. So when Paul and Silas had been persecuted, they left Thessalonica, and the next stop was the city of Berea. And we read about that here in Acts 17:10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed. And so here we see that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So here we learn more about how to listen to preaching. And it's not in contradiction at all to what was said in 1 Thessalonians 2, but we pair it with there, and it's a further elucidation. So what did they do that was more noble? Well, first of all, they received the word with all eagerness. I mean, that's just kind of like what the Thessalonians were doing, right? This is from God. We want to hear. They received the word with all eagerness. What does God have for me? I'm going to grab it eagerly with both hands. And yet, it says that they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Is this true? This is from God? I want to verify that this is accurate, that it is true. How do I make that verification? Well, I go to the scriptures. That's my criteria for ascertaining truth. What does the Bible say? Does what I just heard line up with the Bible? I mean, we preach from the Bible. And so check it against the Bible. And so they heard eagerly, but not uncritically. And so they, and the standard for determining truth was not my opinion. Well, that doesn't line up with what I think. Yeah, I don't like that. That sounds wrong. That's not what I hear in the cultural consensus. No, it's not about what I like or what I always believed, but if the Bible says it, I surrender and I accept it, because God may tell you things that you don't want to hear. And so we want to hear what God says. Is this what God is saying or just what the preacher thinks? I check it against the scriptures to verify whether these things are so. And so then what happened? Many therefore believe. They go through this process, receiving the word with eagerness. What does God have to say to me? And yet they examine the scriptures daily to verify that these things are so. And then many therefore believed. And so listening to preaching, to hear what God says, does not cancel out the necessity, not the opportunity, not the possibility, but the necessity of verifying that this is what God says, because we're fallible. And sometimes we see things wrong. And yet our attempt is to preach the word of God. And you listen to that and receive it as from God and verify, examining whether these things are so by the scriptures. Well, we come to our third question then. What does the word of God do? We've heard that this is about preaching. We've heard that we listen to it as it is really the word of God. So we listen for what God says, examining the scriptures, and now what does the word of God do? So back to our text. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. At work in you, believers. What does the word of God do? Well, it's at work. The word of God is at work in you, believers. Not at work in just anybody, but it's at work in those who have faith. 1 Peter 1:5. You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation. So for believers, God's power is guarding you so that once saved, he will carry you to that day when he returns or when we are resurrected. And how does he guard you, guard your salvation? He guards it through faith. You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation. So God's power is actively guarding you through your faith. The power of God is delivered to you through the pipeline of your faith. So hang on, keep believing, right? So at work in us, God's power is at work in us through our faith. There's other things at work in us too. Other things as well, Romans 7:5, our sinful passions are at work in our members, our bodily parts, to bear fruit for death. So we have sinful desires, though saved by grace and made anew, there's these hanger-ons of the remnants of our old man, these sinful desires, and they are at work in our members. For example, your mind may think fondly about your sinful desires and thus stir them up from dormancy up to a higher intensity. Sinful desires at work in the mind. Or our eyes behold things that make me want to sin even more. Like Eve with the fruit. And that is good to look at. Yes, I really like that. And so desire heightens because of the activity of the eye. Sinful passions are at work in our members. Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, Satan and his minions are at work rampantly in unbelievers, unchecked, dominant, but still influential in believers. They haven't gone away. And so they too are at work, seducing us to believe in lies, inciting us to anger against the truth and righteousness. But here God is at work. God is at work in believers, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. And let me just turn over to Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment to help us clarify what is going on here. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, second half of 2 of 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. It is God who works in you. He is at work, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So if God's at work in me, what's he doing? Where is he going with it? What's his aim, his mission? Well, he is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He's at work in you for you to make good choices, to choose sin, to reject unrighteousness, to say yes to God and his promises and encouragements, and no to the lies of the devil. God is at work to induce you to choose, to will, and to work, to make an effort to carry out your intentions, to do what God would have you to do. God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. And that's why, in the verse before that, Paul can urge them, so work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. Get to work. Go ahead and read your Bible and hear what God says to you. Go ahead and go out into the world and say no to temptation and to sin. Go ahead and work out your own salvation because you're not on your own. It's not all up to you. God's at work in you, inducing, causing, stimulating, powerfully working within you to choose and to work for his good pleasure. Who's working? God. Who's working? Me. Which one comes first? God comes first, for he is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. What an awesome thing that God is at work in me. I don't see it, but I take it by faith because the Word of God says it. Well, This is the same thing that Paul says in Colossians 1:29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." Again, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." Who's working here? Well, Paul's working. I toil. I'm struggling. But is Paul on his own? No. God is powerfully working within him, imparting energy for Paul to work for God. Well, how does this happen? Back to our text. One principal way, we call it a means of grace, one principal way that God works in us is through the preaching of the Word of God. It's that simple. As we come by faith, we hear the Word of God expounded and applied. God is at work. How's he do it, you say? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Through preaching, the Word of God teaches us who God is, who I am, how to fight against sin, how to work for him. Through preaching, the Word of God reproves us. It shows us where I'm wrong. Like, I thought this was okay. And then I realized this is destructive to my soul. It reproves, it identifies, it points out sin in my life. And then the Word of God, through preaching, corrects us. It shows us not only where I'm wrong, but it helps me get back on track. And then it trains us, it comprehensively coaches us in righteousness. And all of this happens empowered by the Spirit through the Word of God, and in this case, through preaching, and in other means as well. But this is our focus this morning. Well, there we are. We thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of man, but as what it really is, the Word of God, was just at work in you believers. So do we take away from this? Three things. First of all, this whole business of preaching, you must understand, is Jesus Christ caring for his people by feeding them through the preaching of the Word of God. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And what does he do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He feeds me as I am surrounded by yummy green grass. And how does he do that? Well, Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4, gave pastors and teachers as part of the fruits of his resurrection in order to equip the saints. This whole activity is to be regarded as how Jesus is taking care of you, and how Jesus is feeding you, and how Jesus is equipping you through men. That's how it works. But by his power, grace, and love. Second takeaway, when we come to preaching, we want to listen to hear God's voice, because that's what it really is, the Word of God. We want to discern what God is saying to me, why I'm here this morning to hear this sermon, and what God is saying to us, this community of God's people. We realize what is really happening, God's word, and we want to hear, though he is speaking through fallible men, we want to hear what Jesus is saying in this sermon to me. Jesus said, "Take care how you hear." And then finally, we want to listen eagerly, yet thoughtfully. Eagerly, yet thoughtfully. Like the Bereans, examining daily, regularly, frequently. Is this so? It's a filter, right? God is speaking, but he's speaking through an instrument. And so I really like coffee. But I don't like coffee in a metal cup. because it tastes like metal. It probably doesn't really, but in my mind it does, right? I like it in a ceramic cup. Well, sometimes the vessel distorts the flavor of the liquid that is containing, and sometimes humans taint the message from God that we're seeking to deliver. Help us filter that out. Not by listening, oh, we'll see how he does today, but by listening for God, receiving the word with all eagerness, but examining the scriptures to see that these things are so. And we welcome that. And what if you have a question? Come and talk. You know, hey, I heard you say this, but like, how does that fit with Exodus 20, whatever? And let's talk. We welcome the feedback. But be listening for God, because he's speaking. Well, there we have it. Perhaps some of you are here who are not Christians. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. What do you take away? Boy, there was this awesome promise we read earlier. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't have to work it up. I don't have to qualify. I just call on the Savior. I call on the Lord, and he will save you, not he'll enable you to save yourself. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord will be saved. For Jesus, God himself, took a human body and soul in order to live a sinless life and to die, to pay the price for your sins so that you can be forgiven and have new life in him. We preach Jesus is the ultimate answer to your deepest problem, your relationship to God. Well, let's pray. Father, we now come to you and we thank you that you have given us in your kindness with an awareness of who we are, how we're built, what we need, this institution of preaching. And we thank you that you speak to us. Lord, help us to listen for you. Help us to hear your voice. And we pray that week by week we would grow because of your work and your word at work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.